blossom, we made our vows. All the blossoms come sailing down through the streets and through the playground. The sun would stream on the sheets, woken by the morning bird. We'd buy the Sunday newspapers and never read a single word. People, they ain't no good. People, they ain't no good. People, they ain't no good. Seasons came, seasons went. Stripped the blossoms bare. A different tree now lines the streets, shaking its fists in the air. The wind has slammed us like a fist. The window's rattling in the gale. She drew the curtains made out of her wedding veil. People, they ain't no good. People, they ain't no good. People, they ain't no good. To our loves and a dozen wild lilies, to our loves and a coffin of wood, to our love, let all the pink-eyed pigeons coo. That people, they just ain't no good. To our loves and back all the letters, to our love, Valentine of blood. To our love, let all the jilted lovers cry. The people, it just ain't no good. It ain't that in their hearts they're bad. They can comfort you, some even try. Nurse you when you're ill of health. They bury you when you go and die. It ain't that in their hearts they're bad. They'll stick by you if they could bullshit, baby. People just ain't.
Wraps things up for me. Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, People Ain't No Good, from the Boatman's Call album. We heard Stefan Christensen from the upcoming Flame, an LP on the Bruit Direct Disc. We heard G. Roberts. John Fahey gave us Sunflower River Blues from Death Chance Breakdowns and Military Waltzes. We heard Ignatz, 32 Years Ago, from the album Can I Go Home Now, on the Phonal label. Nemo gave us Say Exterminate from the Caliber 5 collection on Chocolate Monk. And we started off with Dylan Nayukis from the Chocolate Monk compilation Caliber 5, the intro to that comp. And that's it for me. I gotta say goodnight. This is Freeform Radio, WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. My name is Fabio. I'll see you next week. Stay tuned for Miracle Nutrition coming up almost immediately. See you later.
Miracle Nutrition with Hardy Wine. I'm Hardy Wine. Join me now as we take a little trip together, a little mini vacation, a little mini vacay, a little miva, a little minimba, to recharge, to refresh, to relive, and to live. Oh, my friends, it's good to be with you. There is love in the air. Oh, my goodness, welcome, my friends. I am running all over the house tidying up because I have family coming to visit. I have a full set of great-great-grandparents, and by a full set, I mean 16 people, and they all travel together. They're very, very old. I don't know what has caused them to live this long, but my goodness, they endure. And a lot of them, half of them knew each other, I think, before I was born, but then they met the other half, and they've all gotten together, and they've really clicked, and they travel as a group, and they also sleep in the same bed, like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And it's a very large one. No, they don't go that far. That's silly. No, they get 8 rooms at the Marriott for the advanced aged, and that's a very special place. And it's mostly just ramps. Everything is ramped. It's modeled on the Guggenheim. So you know, what's a good place to take your grandfather? The Guggenheim's just one ramp. So that's excellent. I'm going to do that then. And then, is it okay to skateboard back down? You take the, traditionally you would take, when Peggy Guggenheim came up with it, she said, I want you to take the elevator up and then you skateboard down. That was the original plan. Anyway, I've got all these ancestors coming, and bless their hearts, I have so little in common with them. You know, you don't think about it, but you have every person has a set of parents. I don't. Well, I mean, biologically. I don't. Okay, cloney. I forget. You can't make any blanket statements really like that. Everything has an exception. No, it doesn't. Oh, right. I don't know who that was. But there's exceptions. So you have, but you do have, most people have 2 sets of parents. Now it gets tricky because a lot of us have 4 sets of grandparents, 8 great-grandparents, 16 great-greats, 32 great-great-greats, 64 great-great-great-greats, but I don't, because back there I had some first cousins married. I didn't have them. They chose that, to do that. So I have some duplicate. I was doing my ancestry. I was like, hey now, I recognize those great-great-great-grandparents. They're coming at me from both sides here. So I guess it was just their where they lived, and they said, you know, there's no one here that's good enough for you except your cousin. I don't know how they spoke. That's probably not how they spoke. You know, they were very proud, I guess, of their family. And I was just thinking about that line. They came from Dumfries in Scotland, and then one of them became mayor of Pittsburgh. So, boy, that's when the whole family crawled up their own butt and said, oh, we love this. And then that name got passed down, and everybody had it as a middle name. And in my family, they had it as a middle name so long they couldn't spell it anymore. They just kept, because they didn't know these people. Because even though you are related, you're related and you're not related. That's the beautiful thing. We're all family, but we're not. So don't feel linked or trapped by that. Say, oh, you know, I am the product of my, you are and you aren't. I mean, you know. It just keeps getting vaguer, you know, as you go back. But you contain all that. Isn't that amazing? There's two things that were said to me in my life that were supposed to blow my mind. But the reason they didn't blow my mind is because they overestimated the size of my mind. And it's like a star. You know, if you don't have a not all stars collapse into a black hole. Some of them, like mine, are just little, are like dim little brown dwarfs, and that's what happened. So one thing was there was a fella on the television show called Cosmos, and no, it's not that fella. He'll serve you cheese, I heard. No, it was another fella from back in the day, and his name was Carl Sagan, and he would say. The universe is a vast place, and you are star stuff. And that was him exhaling the pot, because he was one of the pot-smoking physicists that discovered the universe. Now, he didn't discover it. He just explained it. But he had to be high to do it, and I don't blame him, because a lot of it's very strange. But anyway, when he said you contain star stuff, he meant that the substances that were created, at the very same things that were created at the beginning of the universe are in you, are now physically make up you. Like, you know how they reuse bricks? You say, look, I was looking at my house. I got a brick house.
Yeah.
And I think they reused the bricks.
Yeah.
Because one of them said, dedicated to little Tommy. And then it had this date and age range.
Oh,
so I'm thinking that brick was probably stolen from a walk of love or something where you dedicate it to the dead. So I don't know why they did that, but a lot of times they will salvage bricks from buildings that are being demolished. Say, I'm taking down that old pub and we're going to put those bricks over here. Well, my goodness, that's the way the universe works. Does it? I get a little bit. I don't know if this is making things better for you. The other thing that was said that did not adequately blow my mind is that all biological life is connected. And that's so interesting. We all have that in each other. We're so similar. Oh, your self-loathing is a reflection of a greater systemic self-loathing. I don't know how to describe it. Biological life seems sort of like a conflict with itself, doesn't it? And so it's full of fear. It's kind of fear-driven and everything, and or also pleasure-driven. It's just driven in general. It's, you know, so I don't know by what, by itself. It's very interesting. Oh, but my goodness. So I have to distill things to things that really just affect me. And I love to talk about the big things. And should I ever go to college and am involved in some kind of wonderful stoned conversation in a dorm room about really what quantum mechanics tells us? But those situations really taught me more about how to deal with know-it-alls than it did really about the actual substance that we're speaking about. Because some things are beautiful to think about, and it does change my experience to have more knowledge of the universe, but at the same time, I have very ordinary concerns. You know, it's like physics. It's like there's two kinds of physics. There's that weird kind of quantum physics, and then there's what's going to happen if I drop my coffee mug. Well, the whole world works like that. We can think about why things are all day long, but sometimes we need to be combating sadness or sickness, and we got to do that right then. With our accumulated wisdom, oh, I just want to give you a big hug. I see some people most people are hurting. Some people are acutely hurting. It's a wild, wicked, wonderful world. And not everybody gets to experience it the same way. And I would like to just make myself available now for the next hour to be your grandpa or your great-great-grandpa, somebody that's not really, almost not really related. That's how I want to be. I'm going to be your great-great-great-grandfather. I said, well, you're the same age I am or younger. Yes, but does that even matter? Imagine if there was a heaven. Imagine there's a heaven, and you go there when you die. What age would you be? And what age would the little baby be? Would it have been growing up? And if it growed up, what would it have experienced if it didn't experience it on Earth? So that's, you know, what if you die and you go to heaven, you realize there's like, it's just your one thing. You go, oh no, I thought I was millions of people and bugs and thinkers. No, just plain old Tony, the sum and substance of the universe. It's just you. Oh, I felt so differentiated when I was down there. So that could be too. That's a mystical take on the universe, that God needs to hide itself from itself to be able to experience anything because everything is happening at once. Sometimes I watch physics videos to fall asleep, and there's two different kinds. There's Richard Feynman talking, and then there's AI pretending to be Richard Feynman talking, and they're both very compelling. But you see, as a human, I can tell a heavy Brooklyn accent or wherever he's from. He's like, oh my goodness, he's not from the South. What a fella. So, but I fall asleep to them, because I like my imagination to drift. And because at some point, hopefully not very soon, but I was planning on becoming one with the universe again. And that's not, it's so easy. People go, ugh, it's the easiest thing in the world. Everything leading up to it is horror. But I think just going back into the earth, and how long does it take? Well, there is no time. Time is something that you, as a living thing, that you think is happening in a certain way. But the universe doesn't see it that way. Oh, bless you. So this hug is timeless. I'm going to give you a hug, and it's going to last forever. It's going to last into the past and last forever. Oh, you belong here. You contain everybody that's ever lived.
I don't remember it.
Good. You don't want to. You don't remember that. You don't remember this, maybe. You go to, they say, you're good enough to go to heaven, but then you're just haunted by your memories. You go, oh, God, I'm in heaven. But I wake up sighing because I remember that embarrassing thing I did. And it's like, oh, Lord, now I know they're down there talking about me. I'm mortified, and yet I'm floating here on a cloud, winged, with my bug wings. Because if I had real bird wings, I would have no hands. And so if I was going to get, say, they give you, I just want a tip. Here's a tip for you. So when you go to heaven, and they say, you made it, you're an angel. And they'll say, what kind of wings you want? What style? So you got to know the styles and everything. So you got to say, you got to make sure you don't get the ones on Ezekiel's chariot, because I think those are like bird wings, and then you don't have hands. See, I want the bug type, but I don't know what they call it. I got to look it up in my concordance. But then I'll find the Bible for you. It's probably in Ezekiel somewhere. What a wonderful thing. There's nothing more useless than someone describing the ineffable. Because you remember, you did see something. I saw something so wonderful. What was it? And then they start to use their, sort of dumbass limited language to try to explain it to you. And you think, my goodness, that's not really, I don't know what you're talking about. You know what it looked like? A corn ship. Well, that's not majestic.
It's glowing gold corn ship.
No. Mm-mm. So some things I think are merely experiential, and I'm never going to be able to describe things that are going to hit you the same way as the things that you can describe to yourself. Oh, my goodness. You know, a lot of times you will turn on that YouTube, and you'll see people telling you how to achieve health or longevity. And some of them will tell you, go on there and get in an ice bucket. What? And it's okay if you pour one on your head for a degenerative neurological disease. I mean, for the campaign against it or something. That's fine. But this is people, healthy people, getting in a tub full of ice so cause to make their body something. And then that'll be something. And then they'll something and they'll gain health. Right? I guess it works. There's a lot of science behind it and stuff. But here's my thing. You know, if you really go out, besides the Swedes, if you go out into nature and you look at like a Hokkaido snow monkey, I'm not comparing them to Swedish people because they're two different things. There's no snow monkey that would eat like lutefisk or whatever it's called. But they get in a hot spring bath, the snow monkey, with their pretty little pink face and white hair poking out. And they relax that way, and they got a blissed out look, because it's no fun being a monkey. You know that. You're a monkey.
I'm no monkey. I'm an ape.
Yeah, boy, that doesn't make it sound better. Monkey sounds fun. Ape sounds like you're dumb and work for a gangster.
Hey, what do you want, boss?
Nothing, ape. Go get monkey. He's smart.
But he went, boss. I'll steal something for you.
That's a little clever little monkey. No, we're apes. And then there's great apes and lesser apes, which is icky. You can tell the gibbons didn't come up with that. The gibbons were not consulted when they were coming up. What do you mean
lesser apes?
Well, come on now, gibbon. I think it's a gibbon that's a lesser. I can't name my apes. Oh, my goodness, I should have. But hey, anybody still got those ape NFTs or what they're called? How much are they worth now? Must be worth in the billions. I can't even imagine. I remember since Jimmy Fallon spent $8 billion. He bought one of them cartoon apes, and now he'll be able to buy a planet, I guess. I don't even know how things work anymore. Now it's all virtual. Who knows? I'm still digging holes. And why? Well, you know, food, plant food or get it. And sometimes you got to do a little digging, just the way you do in life. Now, I'm here just to basically tell you stories, though, aren't I? But I'm also here to help you, and I would like to be a sort of refuge for you. And I've said this before, but I'd like to be a little Gilligan's Island that you can come to. And not a real Gilligan's Island. You know how Marie Antoinette had a little peasant village? So Marie Antoinette is this, you know, emperor, what do you call it? Queen. And she's so wealthy, you know, you get bored. So she would like to play peasant. So she had a little peasant village created. She'd go there, play peasant, stuff like that. And a lot of rich people do this. So I'm going to have a little island where I can go and do what I want, you know, have fun. Well, my idea of fun is different than some of those really, really wealthy people. And mine's gentler. I know that. But let's say go Gilligan's Island. Now, we make fun of that, but my goodness. You know, if only, it's so goofy and naive now, and you go, oh, this is gross, it's going to be the downfall of society, and you look at it and you go, oh, God, that is civil society. Bring back, I want to live together in peace with you, Mr. Howell. Yeah, now Mr. Howell would shove you in his trunk and lock it, I think. But anyway, I want you to come to this island. And we will have fun together and eat, I don't know, whether papaya or what's on it. It could be any kind of islands. Not all islands are tropical islands. You think about that. You know, so you say, oh, I want to, so you make your genie wishes. Can be rough. So I'd love to be on a island. Don't say desert island because then it'd be made of sand or something. Say, but then say, you know, but here's the temperature range that I would enjoy. And specify humidity. Because they try to fool you like that. There's so many islands. And we are all sort of one as well. And an island is a deceptive thing, isn't it? It looks like it's floating out there. A lot of people might think that if they're naive or hit on the head or something. Say an island's just floating on there like it was a frisbee at the lake. Somebody tossed their frisbee out in Lake Zoganog and it's been floating out there like that, like an island. Well, no, that's not what an island is. An island, sometimes, an island could be a mountain covered by, you know, surrounded by water, except for a little tip that's sticking out. Try this experiment the next time you take a bath. Stick your knees up. Are they just floating kneecaps? No. So some islands are that. Some are volcanic. Some are coral islands. Let's say there's a little bump in the floor, and then the coral starts forming on it and dying and piles up on its own bones. That'd be fun if we did that, people. You're living. I'm living on a pile of my ancestors' bones. And I don't know if that'd be great. So now I'm an island. Well, no man's an island. No man's an island without other people. I don't know what that means. It sounds profound. I think there's nothing more profound than the shallow. You know, there's nothing deeper than the surface, is there? I tricked you. You're right. No, I know I'm not. I am and I'm not. That's the thing. I don't know. I think all foolishness has some kind of truth to it. And I think a lot of truth has some kind of foolishness to it. And we understand that. Oh, this whole thing is an experience, yet sometimes that's the last thing we use to gauge it by. Is that, doesn't it feel, you know, isn't it hurting your soul to hurt that person?
I don't know.
I mean, don't you feel any kind of, you know, what do you, when you do need empathy.
Like my puppy.
Yeah, your puppy. How do you turn it on and off like that? You know, you're gonna hurt yourself because it's like a switch or something. You're going to wear out the switch and then you're going to short. Oh, my goodness. I mean, this is so silly. I am, in a way, I have this one bigotry, and that is like kindness. Like kind people always, oh, my goodness. Kind, sweet, vulnerable people, peaceful people. Oh, I'll tell you what, I wish I could be fair, but I'm always going to prefer them a lot of times. But my thing is that anybody could be that. Oh, you know, you say, well, no, I know some real stinkers. You know some, let me say something about time that I've said a million times, and I've got to say it to you again. You are a time worm. You are seeing your existence in slices. You think that time clicks past like that and it flows and it doesn't. You are connected to your baby self, to your microscopic self in one long weird flesh tube that moves through time the way a worm would move through space. You know that snake in Harry Potter zipping around there from room to room? That's you. You ever see Nude Descending a Staircase by Michel Duchamp? That's you. That's one person. That's a little slice of their life, but it's a couple slices jammed together. And all that is still you. How about that? And it's not that you're moving through time. It's like time's moving through you. And you're seeing it all cut up like that. So when we meet people, we meet them in a slice. And you can't see the rest of that time worm. And that time worm extends to their great-great-grandparents and all that. We come from cultures and values and biology that we can't begin to fathom. So everyone you meet is a mystery to you. And often they are a mystery to themselves. Now that's a scary thing, isn't it? So you say, wow, that's scary. Hard not to be scared of others or other creatures if they're scared. So imagine that, being on a whole planet of things that are just low-key terrified all the time. Doesn't, you know, could you all just agree that there was going to be one day? I don't know. I've tried to talk to alligators about this. And the alligator was like, do you see me being violent? I was like, no. He was like, well, you need to, something off. And so I was talking to a lot of animals, and their reputation is worse than, you know, a lot of times what we see is just them eating. And that can seem violent. Oh, my goodness. A volcano, is that violent? You wonder, what a strange world we live in. I don't really wish my brain was any bigger because I would just fill it up. You know, I think like brains are like houses. So I wish I had an 8-room house. If I had an 8-room house, I'd need a 9-room house because the 9th room would have to be the room I lived in because it'd be all filled with stuff. And that's the way it always is. I always need one more room than I have because I'm always looking to fulfill something. I'm finding myself in objects. And there's only always one more thing I need, I find. If I had this book, if I had this next book, then I would have all 4 books. And I would feel a sense of completion. And then I would need a shelf. I'm going to get a shelf for it. I can't stop thinking about shelves. Now I'm going to move on. So, you know, when I get it, I've completed something. It just feels that I need something tangible like that. I think if I don't have the objects, what if I just said, you know, what have you been up to? And they go, well, I became comfortable with the concept of time. So, you know, what about you? And you go, oh, me? I built some shelves. See, that seems better in a way. But did you build them or buy them? Well, I bought the wood. Well, there you go. I knew there was some buying going to be involved. You're not going to make shelves out of driftwood. What a great idea. I think right now I'm going to move to an island. I'm going to go to South Florida, and I'm going to set up my driftwood shelf shop, and I'm going to make little books out of shells. They look like books. They're shells. Come here. Herbert, come here. They're so cute.
What?
Just look at this shelf. It's driftwood.
Yeah.
And look, so it's on books. Yeah. Made out of shelves. Shelves. Shells. What? You're confusing people. I am. And I'm a little bit of that is on purpose. Why? Did you ever go to a fun house? Yeah. What's a fun house?
House of fun?
No, I mean like a house of mirrors.
Oh, yeah. Fun house.
Yeah, it's a fun house. Why is that fun? Why are mirrors fun?
Because you're disoriented.
Why is it fun being disoriented? And did you ever think about that?
No, I don't have to. I can buy my ticket and go in and be disoriented and have fun.
All right.
And just keep doing it.
All right. And why would you want to know why?
Well, I might want to know why in case there was a way to get the experience without paying for my ticket in the fun house.
Yes, that's it. Bing, 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 bing. How do I get these things? How can I feel like this in the world? Does everything have to be sold to me? Oh, it's a yoke. You know what's a yoke? You know what? This hog is all up in my yoke, as Dick Cavett used to say. And what does that mean? I think it means this joint's really going to my head, but I don't know. I'm just guessing from context. But I am yoked. I feel yoked to buying things, you know, because if it's going to be part of your culture, let's say you move to a walled city, and they say, you know, you're welcome to live in the walled city. We're doing a commerce thing here, so you buy my stuff, I buy your stuff. You go, okay, that's great. What do you guys sell? We sell guava jelly. I go, do I need guava jelly? Go, yes, if you live here, you need guava jelly because that's part of our reciprocal relationship. All right. So now, you know, you're buying guava jelly so that they will buy your ankle bracelets with Homer Simpson heads instead of beads. And you can see why there would need to be some contract for them to do that because they might not need that thing. And there's so much, and we see that in history. I don't know if you've ever watched Time Team go out there and they dig up. Such a nuisance. So there's this thing in Britain called Time Team, and they're basically just like pests, like gophers. They'll come, they dig things up. They dig up yards, gardens, they call them there. And go, you dig up my garden? And say, yes, we dug up your garden because there might be a skull there. 9 times out of 10, no. But who knows? You know, what if the only thing standing between us and a little piece of Roman tile is your arranged garden there, over-designed, what do you call that? Landscaped, over-landscaped. We don't need... So they dig up the past because we want to see it. But here's the thing. The past is embedded in everything we do. You don't need to dig up the past. It's still that doesn't go anywhere. It literally doesn't, and its effects don't. It's all still in there. That's the thing. So you dig up the past and you go, oh, people of status wore gold necklaces. Well, I could look out the window and see that. And I'm not poo-pooing, you know, learning or anything. But I think there's this idea that we've human beings maybe evolve on a very small scale, and they really kind of almost don't, you know? It's really big. And so if you dig up something from a few thousand years ago and you're going to think people are all that different, I don't think they are. I mean, maybe they have different stuff, right? They're not going to have computers. But they got things done.
How did they get things done back then?
You always do, whether you have it or you don't.
Their lives would be,
do you think your lives are appreciably better than anybody else in history, or worse even? Who knows? I don't want to know. I'm just content to tell stories on the radio. And that's what I'm going to do. By gosh, I was telling a story about the old great-great-grandparents come over. And they come over and say, we would love a spa of love, because that's what I provide, you know. I want to give you a big hug, say, I'm going to be your, you need a surrogate parent to just tell you that you're wanted, you have worth, and that you're connected to the past, and that you are the tip of a mountain. You are no island. You are no island. You are the leading edge of everything. You are the cutting edge of the whole world, the history of the universe, right out there. And cutting through a beautiful thick stew of space-time and doing a magnificent job of it. And my gosh, if no one's told you that, shame on them. Because I'm just so, if you're listening to me right now, and we're probably kind of connecting, you know, and the reason you understand my language, because so you speak this language, you understand my references, because you've read the same things, you've heard the same news, you've heard the same history. So if you're allowing yourself to sort of let me in, let's say, you know, when you let down your defenses a little bit, the way you would welcome a guest into your home. You know, you don't welcome it. Somebody comes to your door, knock, knock, knock. Yeah, we're out in your neighborhood today selling security systems. Yeah, we would like to come in and take a look around. Yeah. Well, those of you know, maybe you don't have in, but let's say a friend or something, come on in, you welcome them in, and you let down your defenses a little bit as a way of receiving and accepting love, which is so hard to do. And I think it's one of the, you know, people get shut off to it. It's so hard to accept love. It's much easier to give it. It can be very, very hard to accept it. And I don't know if you've ever had this, been overwhelmed with, this has only happened to me really in the hospital. You're at your most vulnerable and helpless. You're shown a kindness and your gratitude goes off the scale. You pin the meter at gratitude and you're just, I appreciate you so much. I love you, appreciate you. And every kindness like that just feels like you feel like your heart's going to explode, like you're going to have some kind of bright light supernova in your head. And you might accept and embrace the love and look at that light and understand that it's within you and within all of us. And oh my goodness, take some of my low-grade love. Practice accepting love by accepting my inferior practice love. So we'll just say, you know, I think you say, thank you. Thank you, Hardy. Thank you, Grandpa, Papa, Peepa, Hardy. I hate the names that people call their grandparents. We've got to standardize that. I mean, for generations, my people said grandmother and grandfather. I mean, they would say, thank you, grandfather. Thank you, grandmother. Like that, you know. But then it changed. But I don't think until almost my generation, because I know my grandfather called his father father. I know my grandmother called her mother mother. I think my mother even my mother called her parents mother and daddy, which is very interesting. So we all have nicknames, but nicknames for the grandparents. Yeah, I'm a poop pop. I don't want to be poop pop or papa poopa or something. I don't want nothing like that. Yeah, me ma'am, ma mom, ma mom. I don't want to be me ma'am, mama, moo moo or anything like that. Just say, children can't say the words right. Well, encourage them to. You know? You don't have to say, well, he's not saying it right, so that's the way we say it now. That infected our society, I think, you know? The child can't say the name sister. He could just say Spoofsif. So we call her Spoofsif now or something, right? It's like, don't do that. Encourage the child. Say sister. It's sister. So a lot of things, just making excuses, I think, for not enduring. And so I'm just going to quit and stay here. It's go, no, keep going. Keep going. Learn how to say grandfather. It's worth it. I don't know. I really just randomly embrace values and then promote them. I haven't really thought things through. But things ring true, don't they? Say, yeah, I agree with that fella. Things aren't the way they used to be. No, they're not. I've noticed that too. So, yeah, that's too easy. And so every time I make a blanket statement, I just roll my eyes at myself and say, boy, you better get out there contradicting that just so people know that it's a dance. It's not a pose. Don't go out there and pose. You dance. You move through it. Keep moving. You know, if the faster you move, the slower time moves. You know that, right? Now, it won't really be. You're going to live the same life. I'll live forever if I run. Well, it feels that way, doesn't it? But, you know, relative to others, time is slowing down. And relative, it's all relative, isn't it? Your relatives are relative. And that's why I brought that up, because I wanted to talk about sort of relativity in general. And there's no talking about that and being my age and not making the relative pun.
I've got relatives. My theory of relativity is my grandfather smells like cigars
or something. I don't know. That's not a great example. But I feel it is incumbent upon me. I feel like it is my calling to say to others, I have experienced, I have been loved, and I now feel like I must love. And once you know how transformative it can be, you know, feeling what someone else is feeling, be brave. Be brave. You won't break. Let your heart go out, you know? Experience it for a while and say, oh, you know, now that I've opened my eyes a little. When you open your eyes, you get a lot more of everything. Oh, yes, more love, more pain, more everything. So you should shrink your world. Like you could do that too. These are all options. Again, there's no good or better. Just you get through it the way you can. I was looking at a news story, not a news story, because the thing happened 100,000 years ago, but this Neanderthal, apparently, in Europe, fell in like a sinkhole, and he couldn't get out, and it was damp and weird, and he got kind of into the wall. His body kind of got eaten by the stone and these little calcium bumpy things from the... the calcite or something in the water made these little, they call him Popcorn Man or something like that. And he's got these little bumps all over him. But it's the remains of a Neanderthal who was walking all over Europe back then and falling, I guess, into sinkholes. Now, you think about that life, and it's really, I try to meditate on those things. You know, meditate on the experience of the consciousness of the Neanderthal and his existence. And You know, that's as eternal as yours. And it's as brief as yours. And what is this thing with time? I don't understand it, but I love making myself feel weird by thinking about it. And I hope that you feel the same way. I get such relief from the confusion. You know, I don't feel like sometimes things get hard, violent, you can't take it. You look at the news, you say, I can't take man's inhumanity to man. I'm crushed by this. I don't know what to do. I feel, how do I treat others? How do I treat myself? What does this say about things? How do I find my way in it? And it could be so hard, right? And so I find refuge not only in love, which I feel is under assault when that happens, but also in the weirdness and the strangeness of the world. And I try to embrace that and think, you know, is what's really happening? You know, this is so confusing to me. Yes, I feel wounded by it, but I also realize that there's so much I don't know, and that is life. There's something else is going to unfold. May I find something out by exploring the unknown? Maybe I'll be able to love more perfectly after I get through this strange maze of windows where I keep seeing myself but distorted, and I don't know what's a wall and what's something coming the other way that looks like me. This is the experience of being alive. Which are the creatures and which are the reflections of you, buddy? It's strange seeing yourself and your worst fears manifest in the world. All the times that I have been enraged, and to see that fed back to me is, wow, there are no words. There are no words to see the darkness of your soul manifest in others and the fear that that generates. So it's very important. And to explore your own mind, open yourself up, say, am I receiving love? What about all this that dwells in me? And I'm going to hug. Yeah, come on in for a hug. We're talking about heavy stuff. Come on and get a hug, and we're going to take a little break and have a snack. I can't take this stuff anymore for me. So let's just take a break and go to my soul spa, where you're going to have some aromatherapy, all right? So, what do you smell?
Wallpaper paste?
Yes! Yes! It's very gentle smell. I like it. It's not astringent or anything like that. It's a very mellow wallpaper paste. That's very good. That's the first thing we're going to smell at our aroma spa, and then we're going to clean. It's just like taking your dog to the groomers. You know, it's going to look good, but also almost quasi-medical things like expressing their anal gland. That's something part of the grooming process. Not so much at our salons. Well, we don't have that, but, you know, but you could, would you your bottom wipe today? No, I'm just going to stick with the shave or anything. A lot of that's societal, because I think among other apes, like if you were a bonobo or something, say you go in for a haircut, and I go, hey, you want me to, anything to do with your butt or anything?
No, I'm good, but thank you.
So we're a little, you know, they're not that far from apes. And what are the apes? I made a big mistake. So I did like a Jane Goodall thing, and I went to live with some chimpanzees, and I brought along some sort of 19th century capitalist literature, like commerce stuff that, you know, everyone should have a business kind of thing. And I really introduced them to the business world. And boy, I came back later. It was just a mess. What a mess they had made of things. But they had developed tools, but they were selling the prices they were trying to get. The best monkey had these tools that he would sell. You would have to, they weren't available in the store. He would have, he'd have to come to you. And this is a funny little fellow. We called him Snap-on. And Snap-on,
I have a rock that you could use to crush birds' heads.
And say, thank you, I will take that. I already have the elephant skinning rock. It's very good. And you're going to go out of business because they last so long. I'm not going to need another.
We hear that a lot.
Yes, your product is so durable, I don't think I'll ever replace it.
All right, stop it, because now you're giving me dark ideas about making my product a planned obsolescence. Say that better.
I can't, but that's what I was trying to get the concept of planned obsolescence out. And But that's the thing. Say, if your product lasts too long, then you sow all these chimpanzees. I think they were chimpanzees. You know, I'm thinking back, though, when the one had a tie. You know, were they chimpanzees? It might have been my family in the 60s. I really don't know. I come on vague memories of the people who raised, you know, who are the people who raised you, who raised them? Sometimes we don't even know, do we? And where the values come from. I was parented in a kind of a group arrangement. So a lot of people, this is a lot of people's experience that it's sort of a group parenting thing. You know, it takes a village. So mine was, you know, my mom, my grandparents, CBS, NBC, ABC, and PBS. And that they all raised me, and I learned their names and everything like that. I remember my great grandmother sitting up there and watching TV in her room. She had a little black and white TV set, and she would be sitting there in the chair that she died in. I'm glad she didn't catch fire. Some people just self-immolate, and then the chair's fine, thank God. But she's watched there. She would watch Lawrence Welk. Lawrence Welk. And Lawrence Welk was a very interesting show, and then when they feature the regulars and everything, which was kind of treated like family, everybody was family, so the viewers also were like, saw that as kind of an extended family.
Hello, sisters, and here's a Myron Cohen.
Not Myron Cohen. I'm Florin. Myron Cohen. I'm starting to make myself laugh. Myron Cohen, Catskills comedian. Myron Florin. Lawrence Welk, accordionist. I'm getting so old. The lady at the tiger in the... I'm going to do my... Myron Cohen has some good darn jokes, though. I will tell one at some point that involves pulling the teeth out of a tiger. And I'll get to... Oh, boy, we got some classics. Know your history. So my great-grandmother would see these people as a sort of surrogate family, you know, and then there it's you start caring about them. And when you care about people, they influence you. And so the people you care about and influence, you could literally, we are a lot of us children of Fred Rogers, because there's an adult that is speaking to you directly about things and talking about values and morals and things, really, and self-love and love and all that, and we got parented jointly, some of us, by this person. And I think he set the bar rather high, because it turns out that people who feel like him and his friends and his little musician friends in their little music shops are not really the majority of people. Now, that don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. All it means is that you've been given this beautiful inheritance. Now, of course, everybody doesn't have your inheritance. It's up to you. You're the next Mr. Rogers. So there's no reason that you can't be like that. That man didn't have anything that you don't have. Not really. You know, and you don't have to be Mr. Rogers on TV. You can be Mr. Rogers to just one damn person or a cat or a fish. You could be Mr. Rogers to a fish, and you're still fulfilling that in his dream. So, you know, don't be so hard. Oh, my gosh. Am I the only person who's good? I love doing shows where I do sort of 70s TV, and I have ads going, and, you know, and I do Ernie Anderson impression all day long and everything like that. I love doing that. But I also know that sometimes there's not a lot of voices on the radio, and the radio is an intimate thing that is especially suited for lonely people, and it is intimate beyond anything that TV is. And I do have an obligation, I think, not an obligation, a desire to let you know, whoever you are, because I know you can't be that much different than I or people I know, that your specialness is not just a Hallmark slogan or something to sell you something. It is absolutely transcendent, timeless, undeniable, and it is of great value and no worth, or whatever the... It is of great worth and no value. No, I don't know which it is. You can't sell it. It's the most valuable thing there is, though. And you and we got to get everybody to have it. And that is takes... You're not going to be the only time worm. So keep it rolling. Oh, my goodness. This isn't a pep talk. It is just... It's an electronic hug. And... should I say, every once in a while, you'll notice how I, there's a sort of a recipe that I do. And I learned it by going, I was at a poetry reading with the Pittsburgh poet, Gerald Stern. And he read a poem. And... it was funny, and then the last line was not. It was jarring. And I realized that what it was is he was, there are certain subjects that require contrast. And so I referred to this pattern years later as Fart Fart Holocaust. I'm not trying to be flip, but it's just... it was more impactful by showing the contrast, which is closer to what reality is. You know, it's life is not all tragedy, and it's not all silly. It's this strange swirl. God, it could be vacillating back and forth between unspeakably horrible and wonderful. And not to say that there's some people's experiences don't get, by no fault of their own, don't get stuck in horrible. No, this isn't a thing where you lift yourself out. That's what I'm not, that's, it's each other, you know. You can't yell somebody, yell at that Neanderthal in a pit. Well, you got yourself in there. It doesn't work. If you want the Neanderthal out, you got to reach a rope down in there. It's too late now. But at least the hole got sealed up or anything, and they found it a different way. But I'd be a little embarrassed if I was that dead Neanderthal. This is another reason why heaven would be hard. I could be up there. I'd be the type that would be befriending other species of humans. Say, hey, are you Australopithecus? Oh, hey, Australopithecus africanus. I don't know if they made any. I don't know whether that's a sound or language. But Neanderthals, I don't know what the... Hey. Hey. Nice to meet you. Hey. 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 You know how dogs just bark? And they seem to be communicating in a way? Maybe Neanderthals did that. I know that's our, like, caveman thing. But, I mean, I think I could make myself known just with hey. 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 Oh, hey. Hey, 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 hey. So, and then the confusing thing with the written language is just, there's just one word, hey. So when you read it, you go, I don't know where the inflections are. We're going to have to come up with all these things and symbols and everything. Just forget it. And, that's why it took tens of thousands of years. But now we can read a whole series of books by people we don't like. That's what you, maybe I wonder if, like, I already know I hate AI, so I'd probably just go ahead and watch their movies and read their books. But back in the day, you had to wait sometimes a long time. You go, boy, you know what book series I liked? What?
So-and-so.
Oh, I got bad news for you.
What? What? So then, you know, you find out that some artist that you admire was awful. And I just find how easy it is to give up their art. Turns out I didn't need it. A lot of it was stuff that was inside of me, and I was just becoming dependent. You know, it's like, okay, you know what? I'm going to write my own wizard stories. How hard could it be? Clearly not very hard, I don't think. And besides, if they were just tailored for me, I don't have to worry about the weird standards of others. I'm going to entertain myself. Does anybody even do that? I mean, you'll say, like, I just write poetry just for myself. Then why did you subject me to it? If that were the case, why write it down? I think people do that or say, I just write for myself. Do you? Then what? It's weird I'm seeing it. Then, is it that you want to see it in some, like, not on your computer or in your head? That's fine, too. But just please admit it's for others to see. So, but not everything has to be. Oh, my goodness. Hardy, I get letters say, Hardy, is it insane to do puppet shows for yourself? No, I hope not. I find it keeps me sane. I mean, I, if you think that Butchie and Lou and Don are characters for the show, just keep thinking that. That's fine. I don't mind if you keep thinking that. If it turns out that I speak to myself all day long like that, then, you know, I don't want you to get concerned, but I do think it's important to, you know, we have different voices in our head a lot of times, right? Have you experienced this? And I've given them distinct voices because I sometimes don't agree with them, and it comes out, it's in my voice, and I think, well, maybe I believe that, you know? So, like, negative things, like, you're an idiot. So I'll be sitting there, and I'll hear, you're an idiot, in my voice. But that's not, that doesn't, I don't feel like that's me. So if I'm sitting there and I hear, you're an idiot, I feel compelled to defend myself. Whereas if it's my voice, I go, well, it must be so. But if I say it in Butchie's voice, or if Butchie says it, then I'm like, well, where am I though? You know? Or the Lou encourages me. You know, when I'm defeated or something, I'll hear him say it. Nobody likes me. I go, no. That's not true.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. I like you.
Oh, who cares?
No, that's, I feel like that too. I feel like, hey, I love you. I don't care. It's, I don't, but it's good, though. It's better to be, I don't want to be loathed. Then why are you on the radio?
I know.
I clearly am not just doing this for myself. Well, and I'm not just doing it for others. I don't know why. I love it. I don't know. It's just momentum or something. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I think that we're in some kind of symbiotic relationship, maybe. You know, I really do believe in sort of mirror neurons. And
there's nothing to believe in. They're real.
I do believe we kind of sync our lives, obviously, you know. And you know, you sell me guava jelly, and I sell you my Homer Simpson ankle bracelets. And sometimes it's not that we need the things, it's that we need each other. And I need you. I don't even know who you are. Well, I do, because you contact me sometimes. And I've made friends with people who are listeners. And it's such a great shortcut for me, because, like, it's like auditioning, you know. If you can stand what you've heard already, then you're not going to get anything really different in the cafe when we meet. And this has been the case, with everybody. I wonder, like, people have who have met me in real life, I can't imagine there's much difference between the radio and me and real me. I know that's a disturbing thing for you to hear.
I'm going to meet you and see if that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I wish it was an act. That, but how'd I do an act for, like, I've been on the radio for 50 billion years or something. No, wait now. I started, the first time I ever walked into a radio station to do it on a permanent basis, late 80s. And I can't tell you, 88, 89. And here it is, 2041. And, you know, where's all the time gone? Really? Is it that? Yeah, I don't even know. I know we changed years, but I think we've been doing them consecutively, which messes me up. I don't want to experience the years consecutively. I'd like doing them out of order. I've been going back and doing some of my elementary school years, and just I'll walk around behind myself, encouraging myself, mostly censoring myself. Say, don't say that. I've lost you friends. Things like that. So, you know.
I still sleep with a teddy bear.
Do you? That's okay. I don't care. That doesn't make you not a strong person. I don't think. I wouldn't want to, you know, I don't necessarily, I've never underestimated anybody. You're remarkable beings, you being. I see you out there, being. Well, I hope you enjoyed me. Not me. Me. I hope you like me. Please like me. I don't mean that. I hope you enjoyed the show. And I hope it gave you something. And I'll be here again next week, God willing. You know? So if you run out, and come back and get more. Now, it might be a silly, different type of show. Who knows? But I think it's just important that we keep in contact. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County, and New York City, New York, and online, WFMU.org. Thank you for listening. Oh, my goodness, I am blessed. And you're just the best. You're the best. Friends. You're just good friends, I'd say. Even if we don't know each other, we don't talk. I think any kind of respect that you get from somebody, and that if you feel I'm giving it to you, we're friends. Bless you.
And tell him that you're in love with me. Tell him.